You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS.
And Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, May 14th, 2013. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, it's the era of scandal for the Obama administration. Or is it really? Huge story yesterday that the Department of Justice had subpoenaed, without the knowledge of the AP, hundreds of records spanning over the course of several months of phone communications from multiple AP offices pursuing a leak, ostensibly a leak that took place in the reporting of a failed underwear bomber 2 plot coming out of Yemen. But there may be more to this story. As much as there is to this story, we will discuss on this program. Also, putting the so-called IRS scandal to bed, just as the Republicans are waking up and planning their nascent impeachment hearings, perhaps. And so too for Benghazi. You won't believe who weighed in on Benghazi. More data out about extreme poverty in this country. It is disturbing and larger than you would think. Good news in Minnesota. Marriage equality passes. And fascinating fallout from the Heritage Foundation immigration report, so-called immigration report, written by a guy who's just a misunderstood intellectual who just mistakenly posted things on a right-wing nationalist website and happened to inartfully say that Latinos, or I should say Hispanics, you know, they're just not as smart as other people, and they probably never can be.
I saw this other guy who's posted questionable things right there, and I thought that was a great place to publish my piece.
You know, these things happen. You're floating around, you're looking for any type of, there's so few places, so hard to get anything posted online, particularly if you're a right winger. There's almost no outlets. And so when you have the opportunity, you take it, you know, okay, so maybe it's a little bit Holocaust denial-y and white supremacy, but what are you going to do? It's all me today, folks. No guests. We got just too much news to wade through here. However, that said, as a special feature for today's program, you can give us a call at 646-257-3920. We'll take your phone calls in the freebie part of the program today. As you know, or you may not know, we do a daily show most days we put out a free product, I would say 90% of the time, 95% of the time.
Way too much.
According to Matt. And you get the first 40 minutes free if you want the rest of the program. You got to become a member. But also, don't just perceive the membership as a means in which to get extra programming or a free DVD available at majority.fm. But also as a way of supporting the show that you listen to on a daily basis. There are thousands upon thousands of you out there who do, and your listenership is much appreciated. If you want to make sure that you're able to continue to listen into the future and increase the quality of the program, become a member today. Let's get right to this AP story. We will move from substantive to less substantive as the program continues today, because the implications of this, well, I don't know if you can call it spying, but the secret obtaining of 2 months worth of telephone records from perhaps over 100 journalists working at the AP, which is part of a year-long investigation into the disclosure of that Al-Qaeda plot I mentioned in Yemen, Underwear Bomber 2. It is unclear as to the legality of this. Clearly, the Department of Justice thought what they were doing was legal. That remains to be seen. But it is clearly something that I think is going to draw more attention to the relentless pursuit of leakers by this administration, and I should qualify that by leakers that they did not approve of, because there has been tons of leaks out of this administration, so-called national security leaks, that they have been okay with. However, they have, in an unprecedented fashion, pursued leakers, even those that were supposedly leaked information during the Bush administration. They have gone after them with an unprecedented amount of charges of espionage. It's simply unprecedented. We have talked about it on this program many times before. We have had some of those people on. Robert Greenwald came out with a film in this regard. We spoke to him a couple of weeks ago. We have spoken to Thomas Drake on this program, and to others who have been subjected to nothing short of harassment. And this is creating a... The implications of this, of course, and not to mention Bradley Manning, the implications of this, of course, have to do not just with the leakers, but with the ability of investigative reporters to report on our ever-increasing national security state in this country. So let's just go through the facts. The AP's president announced on Monday that federal authorities obtained cell, office, and home telephone records of individual reporters and an editor, as well as AP general office numbers in Washington, New York, Hartford, and the main number for AP reporters covering Congress, in what he called a massive and unprecedented intrusion into news gathering activities. And I think his assessment has been echoed across all political spectrums and news outlets. Now, we're going to hear a lot of squawking by Republicans about this, and of course it's hypocritical, but that doesn't mean that they don't have a point. The president of AP wrote to Holder saying there could be no possible justification, and this is important, because while the Justice Department does not need a warrant, but merely a subpoena, which can be issued by the Justice Department, when it comes to media outlets, internal guidelines at the Department of Justice would have required that Holder signed off on this subpoena. However, there are also federal regulations which requires the Department of Justice to minimize the scope of any subpoena of media organizations. Now, remember, there is no constitutional protection for media outlets as to their sources. However, the Supreme Court has provided at least some notion of special status to the media because of the implications on the First Amendment. There really is not necessarily a Fourth Amendment issue here in terms of unreasonable search and seizure. They only need a subpoena as opposed to warrant because they are not listening into the phone calls. But case law has found that just simply getting the records, if that's all it's isolated or limited to, can be achieved by simply a subpoena. However, like I say, federal regulations require the Department of Justice to both minimize the scope of any subpoena of a media organization and to make sure that all alternative avenues were completely exhausted to get this information. Now, the fact that it was secret, generally what happens in these instances is that media organizations are notified that there's a subpoena. They are given the opportunity to quash the subpoena. In this case, the Department of Justice justified their doing this in secret by claiming it would somehow impede the integrity of the investigation if they told them, which also makes this fairly uncommon. But it makes a much harder case to say that you've exhausted all alternatives to find out this information if you haven't even gone to the media outlet and asked them for it. Because that seems to be a potentially viable alternative avenue. What's also relevant about this quote from the AP president is that there may be some implication here that this is not simply about a story that was written about Underwear Bomber 2. But I don't want to get ahead of myself here. The chief executive and AP president, Gary B. Pruitt, wrote to Holder and said there can be no possible justification for such an overboard collection of the telephone communications of the AP and its reporters. These records potentially reveal communications with confidential sources across all of the news gathering activities undertaken by the AP during a two-month period. Provide a roadmap to AP's news gathering operations and disclose information about AP's activities and operations that the government has no conceivable right to know. In other words, if this is just about this one story, you have collected data that goes way beyond that. The implication here is that either you guys are not telling the full story as to what you're investigating, or you have simply dragged a net that is far too wide. The inquiry, this is from the Washington Post, the inquiry is one of two leak investigations ordered last June by Attorney General Eric Holder. The second involves a New York Times article about the Stuxnet computer virus, which was developed jointly by the U.S. and Israel to damage nuclear centrifuges at Iran's main uranium enrichment plant. The two leak inquiries were started after Republicans in Congress accused the Obama administration of orchestrating articles intended to demonstrate the president's toughness on terrorism and improve his chance for re-election. Now, of course, we're going to hear the Republicans now complain about the investigation into these leaks that they called for at the time. But that's simply because the Republican Party is nothing more than an extension of Fox News. It's no longer the tail is wagging the dog, as it were. Nevertheless, the inquiry, according to the Washington Post, is not necessarily aimed at the AP, but rather the inquiry is probably aimed at current or former government officials who divulged classified information. Understand that may be the case, but this clearly chills the reporting by news outlets. Stephen Aftergood, a government secrecy expert at the Federation of American Scientists, says this investigation is broader and less focused on an individual source or reporter than any of the others we've ever seen. The Office of the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia on Monday released a statement saying it's not required to notify a media organization in advance if notifying them, quote, would pose a substantial threat to the integrity of the investigation. They're going to have to prove that, I would imagine. They're also going to have to prove that they exhausted any other alternative avenues to which the receive this information. They're also going to have to prove that it need to be this wide. The story at issue included details of a CIA operation in Yemen that foiled an al-Qaeda plot in the spring of 2012 to set off a bomb on an airplane headed to the United States. Now, understand that the AP had this story, the backstory to this, the AP had this story. And it was dated May 7th, 2012. The attack that was reported on and was foiled was set to occur on the one-year anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden. John Brennan referred to this story in his testimony in February as he was getting confirmed, saying that the release of information to the thwarted terror plot was, quote, unauthorized and dangerous disclosure of classified information. According to its article last year, the AP learned about the CIA's foiling of the plot the week before the Obama administration, and this is the important part. According to the AP, they learned about the plot somewhere around May 1st. They were going to report it. The Obama administration said, please wait. We're going to make an announcement on May 8th. The AP ended up publishing the story the day before because, according to the AP, it was assured from officials that it did not pose a threat to national security. Now, the Obama administration tried to claim, subsequent to that, that it wasn't going to release this information, that it wasn't going to announce it. But it was reported that they were going to in multiple outlets after the fact. So that's a hard road to hoe. This, of course, is incredibly troubling because of what it does to the First Amendment and the press's ability to report on stories like this. Again, a subpoena to the media must be, quote, drawn as narrowly drawn as possible, should be directed at relevant information in a limited subject matter, and should cover a reasonably limited period of time. By their own department's guidelines, it says the reason this is the case is to avoid actions that, quote, might impair the news gathering function. Because the government recognizes that, quote, freedom of the press can be no broader than the freedom of reporters to investigate and report news. And you're only talking about essentially five reporters who worked on this story. Matt Apuzzo, Adam Goldman, and they had contributions from Kimberly Dozier, Eileen Sullivan, and Alan Fram. Now, if you really want to dig into this, and maybe we'll have her on to talk about it, but this stuff gets incredibly weedy. But Marcy Wheeler over at EmptyWheel.net has been pursuing these aspects of these leaks, among other stories, for quite some time. She notes that over this two-month period in early 2012, with the Department of Justice getting the records of 20 separate phone lines, as well as home phones and cell phone records seized by the department, that there were other stories written by the AP. In particular, a story by Kimberly Dozier reporting on the drone program. She notes one Kimberly Dozier story published May 21st, of course, which would fall within this two-month period of reporting. White House counterterror chief John Brennan has seized the lead in guiding a debate on which terror leaders will be targeted for drone attacks or raids, establishing a new procedure to vet both military and CIA targets. It goes on. Within 10 days of the time Dozier published that story, Empty Wheel notes, John Brennan had rolled out an enormous propaganda campaign based on descriptions of the drone targeting process that Brennan's power grab had replaced. So over these 2 months, there was stories about the signature strikes, about the Undy bomb, about John Brennan taking over drone targeting from JSOC. On and on and on. Stories that intertwine with other stories. Marcy Wheeler speculates, and it's just speculation. I'll read what she says. Frankly, I think the witch hunt response to the Undy bomb 2.0 plot was mostly just an excuse to start investigating the AP, though it did lead John Brennan to make it clear that it was a Saudi-manufactured plot in the first place. But the response to that Dozier article, which provided the final piece of evidence for the timeline above showing Brennan grabbed control of the drone targeting at roughly the moment we started signature strikes in Yemen, was more dramatic, at least in terms of the breathtaking propaganda White House rolled out to pretend the drone strikes were more orderly than they actually were. She surmises that Pruitt's, and this is the head of the AP, noting the breadth and scope of the records that were found, he is indicating that he thinks the Department of Justice was looking for other stories as well, beyond the one that they purportedly are investigating, to find other leakers. So this is out there. We're starting to see calls for Holder's resignation. It is unlikely, from what I've gathered, that the White House would be kept abreast of this investigation. Partly because ostensibly it is going after people who may very well be at the White House or, I don't know, sitting atop the CIA at this point. It's simply unclear at this point. At that time, John Brennan was a counterterrorism advisor to President Obama, his top counterterrorism advisor. So it is unlikely that the White House is aware of this, of course, but that doesn't mean that President Obama doesn't have responsibility. Holder is his department, his chief of the at the Department of Justice. So that's where we are in terms of this. I imagine we're going to hear a lot more about it because, of course, it involves the press. Now, we don't hear much about these other half dozen whistleblowers. You may hear, but in the mainstream press, you don't hear much about their story. You don't hear about how they blew the whistle on the NSA, which was essentially just trying to cover their asses because they wanted to outsource spying technology, provide a huge private contract when they actually had the apparatus and a more effective apparatus in place. You don't hear that the Special Inspector General for the NSA found that all their claims were legitimate, and yet the administration still pursued them to the point of basically Thomas Drake working at an Apple store. And so I guess, you know, we needed to wait for the media to actually be the victims of this before they started to pay any attention. Maybe they'll pay more attention to Bradley Manning, who is being over-prosecuted. Whether or not you think that he broke some laws and needed to be accounted for, he's being well over-prosecuted, has been completely mistreated. That has already been conceded by judges, I use in quote, military judges.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here, Sam.
Right. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
See, that's different.
And so this is going to be a scandal that's going to have some legs, I think. And when you look at the zealousness and what they're willing to do in pursuit of leaks, and it's quite clear that President Obama has completely been seduced by the sort of the national security apparatus and the secrecy regime, and it has permeated its entire administration. When you look at the zealousness in which this Department of Justice has gone after leakers versus them going after bankers, who, of course, we all know the collateral consequences of going after these too big to fail banks is really problematic for the little people. It's really reprehensible. Now, with all that said, let's move to a controversy that is less serious. We're just going to move from the real to the more fantastical to the pure fantasy. And we've got some sound clips that we will play as we go further. But Michelle Bachmann has spoken out about the IRS scandal. And remember now, we have 25% of the 300 scrutinized groups that were applying for the 501c4 designation. Now, the 501c4 designation is one that allows your group to create profits tax-free. They cannot be used, those profits, for the benefit of an individual, and they cannot be used for primarily electioneering purposes. That's a very vague standard, and that's where the IRS has trouble determining that. these groups, as opposed to a 501(c), which is tax deduction, which donations are tax deductible. It's not the case with a 501(c)(4). The advantage of a donor giving to a 501(c)(4) organization is merely that you are kept anonymous. And so you're able to promote the social welfare as a primary function and electioneering as a perhaps secondary function without any accountability whatsoever. So basically, this is a group that is looking to get a special tax status. So any scrutiny of these 300 groups, 25% of which were Tea Party groups, is not we're going to just randomly investigate these groups. It is going to be that you need to cross a threshold to prove to us that your activities are not going to be contra our rules. And if you have any red flags that may lead us to believe that you're not going to follow these rules, we're going to subject you to added scrutiny. How do we go about doing this? Well, from the IRS's perspective, they're flooded with applications because following Citizens United, it opened up the floodgates for these things. Now, they should have gone after basically those organizations where people who were former advisors, former campaign managers, whatever it was, to politicians. And to a certain extent, they may have. We haven't seen the full list as to who was subjected to increased scrutiny. That's going to be released shortly. But they clearly went after groups that said Republican or Democrat. And they chose Tea Party simply because at that time, in 2010, the Tea Party was putting up its own candidates. Some Tea Party organizations were more grassroots, I guess, and just organizing, and others were oriented towards getting politicians on the ballot and having them win. Probably not the best way to go about it, but Michelle Bachmann has come out and said, according to the Huffington Post, Michelle Bachmann suggested Sunday that the IRS's targeting of conservative groups during the 2012 presidential campaign undermines the election's credibility. And then went on to deny, question whether the agency would deny health care coverage for conservatives. I don't know how she gets from A to B, but if she perceives the election outcome would have been different. Now, granted, none of these groups were rejected. There were some that withdrew their applications, ostensibly because the bar was too high to climb, whether from a practical standpoint or from a notion of that their organization didn't meet the requirements. But if this is the case, isn't this prima facie evidence that maybe these groups were interested in promoting certain political outcomes in terms of candidates, if this undermines the credibility of that election? We learned that during an election, Obama interfered with the First Amendment rights of conservatives and Tea Party members by intimidating and harassing these organizations. No, it simply meant that these organizations needed to cross a higher bar to receive a special tax status. And there is no indication that other groups weren't similarly subjected to this scrutiny. But this is Michelle Bachmann. But it's not just Michelle Bachmann. Glenn Beck also wants to warn you about this IRS supposed scandal. Because in Glenn Beck's words, first they came for the 501(c)(4)s, And then...
The reason why I say we need to start calling it an Inquisition is because it targeted Jews. The Inquisition targeted Jews. If you were the wrong religion, if you were Jewish and you were the wrong religion, submit! My Jewish friends in America, all religious people, listen up. The government not only targeted the Tea Party, they not only targeted the 9/12 Project, but they targeted a religion. And they asked, where do you stand on the Jewish question, on the Israeli question, on Israel should exist? When you have a government going in and putting a litmus test together for a religion, you are developing a very frightening state. If there aren't impeachment hearings, if there aren't massive firings, and if there isn't a change in the media, you already are operating under tyranny. And the president should be disregarded when he says, have no fear of tyrants.
I want to try and parse that. Oh, but again, this is scrutiny that is paid to groups who are applying to the IRS for a tax exemption on any type of profits they may generate through these groups. Really, what we should see is the IRS basically say, you only get tax exemption if you're a charity. End of story.
Stop spreading your propaganda, Sam.
There you go.
Do not listen when Sam Cedar says we're not living under tyranny, Jews.
I wonder how many of these Tea Party groups are cool with, like, Muslims being monitored just because they're Muslim. I wonder how many of these groups are like, how dare the IRS look at us differently because we say F taxes. And then these are the same people, I wonder, who go and say, we should investigate those welfare recipients. They're probably all on drugs.
Yes. No, there's no consistency here. And I don't think we're going to see, frankly... Well, look, the problem that the Republicans have in terms of impeachment is the problem that they've always had. They've created monsters. And they've created Frankensteins. And these people are not going to be happy until there are impeachment hearings. And so I don't think we're going to see the president impeached and thrown out of office. But I would say that there is a 50-50 chance that we're going to see impeachment hearings. Just because they've been waiting since day one to find something to hang on to. And Benghazi. Ladies and gentlemen, Benghazi.
That's what you think they'll go with for the impeachment hearings?
I think they'll go with Benghazi IRS. As soon as they draw a line between the IRS and Benghazi, once they're able to do that, then I think we're going to see...
I wonder if the Saudi has anything to do with this, too.
So the public policy polling firm did a poll on Benghazi, and it found that 49% of voters say they trust Hillary Clinton more on the Benghazi issue versus 39% who trust congressional Republicans. The poll also found that 23% of Americans think Benghazi is the biggest political scandal in American history. Benghazi, the biggest political scandal in American history. That would be shocking. If the following statistic wasn't more shocking. Almost 40%, 39% of those Americans who think Benghazi is the biggest political scandal in the history of the United States don't know where Benghazi is. Now, look, I understand if your average American does not know where Benghazi is. But if you think something is the biggest political scandal in the history of the United States, might not you say, Google, where's Benghazi?
That's part of the scandal, Sam.
10%.
The government won't tell us where Benghazi is.
That is it. They're hiding the location of Benghazi. 10% think it's in Egypt. 9% think it's in Iran. 6%, of course, think it's in Cuba.
Cuba?
Cuba. 5% in Syria. 4% in Iraq. 1% each in North Korea and Liberia.
I wonder if that 1% meant both.
4% were smart enough to be unwilling to venture a guess. So there you have it, folks. The biggest scandal in the history of America. And they may not even know what it refers to. However, lastly, there is someone who has weighed in on what 23% of Americans think is the biggest scandal in the history of the United States. And he, too, seems to think it's pretty big. And this is a guy who should know, folks. I'm pretty sure he knows where Benghazi is. But if this guy is saying this is this big of a scandal, maybe we should be listening to him.
Who is this guy?
I bring you the guy who is, well, let's just hear.
John, I think it's one of the worst incidences, frankly, that I can recall in my career. They put the whole capability claiming the terrorist problem solved once we got bin Laden, that al-Qaeda was over with. If they told the truth about Benghazi, that it was a terrorist attack by an al-Qaeda-affiliated group, it would have destroyed the false image of competence that was the basis of his campaign for re-election. Well, they lied. They claimed it was because of a demonstration video, so they wouldn't have to admit that it was really all about their incompetence.
So there you have it. The man whose administration, I think, was subjected to 13 such attacks, not including 9/11, Dick Cheney. In his entire career, he's never come across something quite like this. They lied. They were hiding their incompetence. Of course, it's all nonsense, but I guess Cheney can't find a way to get back on air. And so if this is what it's going to take, he wants to get a couple more, at least phone hits in before it's all over for him.
The nerve of this man. It's like he doesn't have a heart.
Indeed. All right, folks. I'm going to head into the better half of the program. You can support this show not only by becoming a member, but by subscribing to our YouTube channel and saving some, spreading around some of our stuff. If you're a Reddit user, send us an email. We will get to you in the next couple of days.
We've got a number of people who responded to that, so we're getting
email
it all together.
Email us at majorityreporters@gmail.com. We'll put you on a distribution list. If you drink coffee and you like good coffee, you can get great coffee from justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, great company. It's cooperative. It's employee owned. They're in Madison, Wisconsin. Very supportive of what was happening in Wisconsin in the past years. The protests. And you get a 10% coupon discount if you use the coupon code MAJORITY. Also, if you buy your crap through Amazon, certainly, by all means, buy it through our link. Go to majority.fm, support the show, click on the Amazon link, bookmark it, buy your stuff through there. You will notice no difference. We will get a little of a kickback. You want to be part of the program, 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920.
What's that, a special libertarian line?
Oh, we got a special libertarian line, 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920, coming up in the better half of the program. We'll also talk about Daryl Issa, who has an interesting theory about air flight travel to Benghazi. Now, I say this because we had a so-called libertarian call in yesterday. And this guy, I think, has called the show before. And he, I think, is this the guy who doesn't, who's really mad at me?
Oh, yes. Jim from PA. Okay. Yes.
And he called in and said...
He likes to call you the left-wing limba. And he calls you a sheep and a tool. Okay.
I remember that guy now. I was confused at first. And he's convinced that Benghazi is... I don't know what he's convinced about. But this guy's apparently a military expert. And he knows, despite what Robert Gates says, that the military could have gotten to Benghazi. So if there are any more libertarians out there who want to call in, and some people did note that it was ironic, a libertarian calling in after a 40-minute interview on the ridiculousness of our drug testing regime in this country. He calls in crowing about Benghazi. But if you want to call in about Benghazi or anything else, you want to tell me why the IRS thing is the worst thing ever, by all means, 646-257-3920. Also, Minnesota, the latest state to move into the 21st century. The UN, meanwhile, as part of their One World plan, is now forcing you all to eat insects. And a wonderful story about how our national security state, if you are a foreigner and you're brown, do not try and fly into this country with a pressure cooker, because we know what that means. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.